The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, today is March 14th, 2016, too. I mean, I'm just amazed how quick this year is going already. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenx.com. Richard Soren is going to be on with us tomorrow, too, by the way. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's our good friend Steven Santangelo. I just posted adding sprints to your workouts. You got to check that out. You can get a hold of Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. John Wood, GrasslandBeef.com. I've known John probably 15 years. Outstanding gentleman. CLAs, omega-3s, I mean, they're loaded with his beef and all his meat like that. Grass-fed, grass-finished. They also have grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Also, planayourworkouts.com. It's a workout logbook to plan your success. You can also get it on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. StrongerGrip.com, they've been making gear for 10 years. They make it for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling. And you can also get their grip gear as featured in Men's Health. And they make custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hardworking training people like us. And that goes to March 17th, the last day to win that big monster sledgehammer. All you got to do is upload your video, and on the subject line, FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash what it is, go down to the box below and please add your email address. And if you want to be more descriptive, that's even better. If you don't have that in there and we pick it, we go to the next one. So I don't want to see people lose because of that. And this is open to anyone. Whether you're on the show or not, we want everybody involved. This is how this organization is. We don't shut the gates on anybody. If you're serious and you want to come in here, we're with you. So do it. You got till midnight of March 17th, which is Thursday. 8xclub.com. That's our buddy Donnie Giafardino, adjustable exercise clubs and maces. They make these clubs and maces for the AKA Vintage Strength Games. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle out on FiorelloBarboco.com, ebook, download it, leave your email, commit and take action. That's about the best I can tell you. On FiorelloBarboco.com, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. There's nothing on there I haven't done. So you're not getting some guy that's got somebody writing for him, a ghostwriter as they call him, and the guy or gal's not doing it. Everything out there I do, we are doing some amazing things. I got Carmen Caputo on today. I was telling him some of the stuff we're doing. John McKean's back with us writing articles, and he and I are going to be doing a lot of Power Rack articles. But this one thing we're doing now, the tri-quad dead stop squat, we're going to get into this more and more. I'm probably going to do a singular show on it, or if I can get John on, I challenge anybody to try that. It's all leg, well, everything. But boy, oh boy, go out and check. We're going to be writing more about it. In fact, I know there's one article, I put it up last week from John. He shot a picture of Bruce Randall out, who was one of the biggest famous strongmen. Then he cut down to a bodybuilder and win. The picture of his thighs there in the position look exactly like it is when you're extended fully on these squats. Absolutely amazing. Next, sponsorship is gigantic here. It's a lot of money to run this every month. It's $500 a month. I mean, don't wince when I say that because all the other podcasts and radio shows are charging double or triple. Nobody's doing 12 shows a week or more like me. I've got 15 this week. They started Sunday night. I work very hard. I want this brand to get out there. I want to help everyone. I want people to come in and help us financially too. Everyone knows that $30 of that goes to MDA because both sites are dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who passed away from that. Be part of my family, as the Italians say. Come on in. We're going to be around for 25 years. Let's work together. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. or motivationandmuscle.com and get involved. That's the most important thing. We got Carmen Caputo on here today. Good friend of the show. He's been on a number of times. I'm going to give you a little bit about Carmen here. And if you haven't seen him on Facebook, I would definitely go after his feed. He's a Marine. He's a Marine veteran, but he'll always be a Marine. He's a retired school teacher, and he's a champion weightlifter for 55 years. And one thing I'll say, you got to go out and see this gentleman deadlift, man. It's amazing. And I didn't realize he was 70 years old, but you look at him, there's no way he'd even think that. So it just goes to show you that, you know, when you got the mental capacity to be great at whatever you do and you don't believe all the experts out there, I mean, you can be standing triumphantly over that bar like we see Carmen do so many times. Plus, he is a mentor, and we'll get into more of that because I want him, obviously, to toot his horn here because it's very important. But, Carmen, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I think I just need to add another room to the house after my head swelled up from all that lead-in you gave me. I'm just an old guy that keeps on lifting, man. You know, I've been lifting 56 years now. I started in March of 1960 when I was 15.
Wow.
And I just had this burning desire to get strong. And I'm still working at it.
Let me ask you this. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I say this to myself. Did you ever think at 15 you'd be 70 and still doing it?
No, my God. You know, I graduated high school. I was 17. You know, my birthday fell in New York.
Yep.
Is such that I started school early, you know, and so I was 17 years old graduating high school, and the portion of town where the graduation was, you know, we're driving through there, and I saw these folks going to shopping and stuff, and they're all slupping along, and I'm thinking, God, they're old. And now I'm old,
yep.
You know, but I don't feel
yep.
old.
What are you doing they don't do, right?
Well, that's it, you know, and I don't like to toot my horn, as you said, but sometimes, you know, the guys I work out with, they're all young enough to be my kids and in some cases grandkids, and I do what I do and they come over. I had a guy tell me Saturday, we're in the middle of our deadlift session, and I did a set and I put it down and he comes over and he grabs me, and this dude is 6'3 and 280 pounds, okay, so when he grabs you, you don't get away. And he snags me up and he says, you know, he says, you're an old bastard, he said, but you're a tough old son of a gun. And I said, well, I just keep trying, Donnie. I just have to keep at it. You know, if I quit, it'll kill me. You know, at this point, I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
If I don't do it, I don't feel right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know something? I'm walking in the same shadow you are,
yeah.
Believe. I don't care if you're 40, 70, 100, or 25. When you really understand what this is all about, and it takes you longer than 25, unless you've got mentors around, like of your caliber, it's going to take you time. And the thing that's going to really be the tail of the tape is, can you take it and can you stay with it? It's a very unique person that can do this for
yeah.
decades, man. You know what I mean? Because
it's not an easy activity.
It is not.
It's tough physically, and it's tough mentally. Because in order to do it, you've got to get yourself into a highly agitated mental state,
yep.
and you can only sustain that for so long, you know.
Without a doubt.
And plus, if you don't train smart, you will sustain injuries that will cut your career short, you know. And I've been very fortunate that I have not sustained any serious injuries. I've strained a muscle here and there. But nothing that required surgery, nothing that required an extensive layoff, you know, an extended layoff. You know, I could just ice it, rub it with some liniment, and
yep.
take enough aspirin, and you're okay, you know.
Well, I bring something out with me now, even in the gym, because I remember reading an old article by Anthony DiTillo in the old Iron Man years ago, and it was talking about how to make your calves grow. Because so many people have stubborn calves, okay? And he was like, I used to take my father's liniment, And in between sets, I would rub my calves with it. And he said, my calves would be on fire. But he said, I never grew bigger calves than doing that. And, you know, the idea is the more heat, the more blood you bring to a muscle, of course, it's going to get bigger.
About. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know something? Ingenuity, it's out in the battlefield, man. You can read all you want. You can listen to experts, but the bottom line, if you have the mentality and you have the hunger and the creativity, you can get pretty smart out there and learn things that
I think along with that, you have to have a certain level of stubbornness too, because there are more times than not you're saying, I've had enough of this crap, I'm done. Then the other side says, no, you need to just man up and do this, and just be patient and it'll come. And it usually, I've been fortunate, it usually does for me. Now, I will say this, after I turned 62, I deadlifted 600 pounds at 198 when I was 53 years old. And I thought, man, I've got this crap figured out. And I hit 60, and I was still doing sets with 500 and 505, for reps. I hit 62, 63, and I could feel it starting to taper off, and so I adjusted accordingly. Right. And now I'm still able to get doubles with in excess of 400 pounds. Saturday I did a double with 425, but the thing is, your memory is such a terrible thing, because you remember, hey, I used to do this, but yeah, you never used to be 70 before either.
Exactly.
When you were doing that, you were 35 or 40 years younger,
Yeah, but the thing is, and this is the biggest thing, like you said, it goes for any of us. You got to stay active and stay with it, because how do you see the thing I think I would have the most struggle with if I was forced to stop this, or I just decided I'd throw my hands up in the air and say I quit, which probably would last all of about 5 minutes,
right,
if that.
Right.
Number one, I have nowhere for my energy to go.
Exactly.
I've got all these years of that mentally and internally. What am I going to find? What am I going to do, go bowling?
It would probably kill you quickly.
It would kill me real quick.
Yeah, because you're a physical person. You're used to doing physical things.
And your identity is that.
That's right. And
when you kill that, you kill yourself pretty much. And it's like, I just can't imagine life without it, and I hope I never have to. I mean, I want to go till I can't go anymore. And people just don't understand. This is why we're trying to do so much with this show. It's like, why aren't more people doing this? Why aren't more kids doing this? It's a lot of fun. Obviously, you got to find somebody that's very good at their craft, because you and I both know there's a lot of one-trick ponies out there. And if you go out on Facebook, you can find
terrible bad information being out by some people.
Yep.
And it hurts me to see it, because I'm thinking there's a young kid somewhere trying to get strong, wanting to get strong, to either play sports better or just for his own personal benefit, his identity issues. And he's falling prey to this bad information. He's going to get hurt, and he's never going to do anything that way. And it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And you know what it does? Then you get scared off, you're like, that stuff's no good. That's a bunch of shit. Yeah, and that's the end of it. And this is why, Carmen, this to me, I mean, obviously the other part of the business, and, we're looking at probably buildings a stone now. That's one of the things that was suggested to me. And I'm waiting to hear from a couple people where we want to build some prototypes and then see what kind of feeder that's going to be and how many people really want to get in. Because we're going to do the smaller of the two stones, which means I've got a 15-year-old kid I train, Alex. I've talked about him before. I mean, he uses it. Anybody that can lift 70 to 90 pounds can grab this thing and go, and it can hold well over 400 pounds. So, it wouldn't matter if it was you or that young lady you train at 14, okay? So, we're looking at that. But, this will segue right in, because obviously when you go to lift a stone, it's like doing a front squat, deadlift, anything in front of you. It's a pull. We're going to talk about deadlifting today, and that's why I was talking to Carmen before we came on the air. That's why I would suggest go out and look at this gentleman on Facebook, because He is a monster deadlifter. Now, you heard what he was doing before he was younger, but you got to go out and see this guy pull. I mean, you never see a glitch or a hiccup with him. And I wanted to get into that because I've never had anybody where we just sat and talked about the deadlift. I'm sure we'll talk about some accessory movements with it, and we're going to really get into the mental nuts and bolts of this because it's like anything that's heavy. You got to really have your head screwed on tight. So, Carmen, why don't you give a little background of the deadlift, however you want to present it. You know, obviously, let's get into your philosophy of it and, you know, how you've grown with it over the years and what if you've specialized. You know what we're going to talk about. So take it away.
Well, first of all, the reason you never see any glitches is I don't put those out there.
Well, that's okay. you're gonna see a big glitch with me because I'm going to be putting up when I pulled that 425 steel stone so hard it almost knocked me back probably
that's
a foot.
That's what happens
and
sometimes. You know, you get so amped.
Yeah. Yep.
And you over-amped, yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it went forward and it dumped every plate but 150-pounder. I'm lucky I didn't put it right through the garage wall.
There you go.
But go ahead. I didn't
know,
mean to interrupt.
I've told you before, I still compete in powerlifting meets. And it's a three-event meet. You squat and bench and deadlift. And of the three, I feel like I'm best suited for the deadlift the way my physiology is. I'm 5'7", and I weigh 210 pounds. And it's just the way I'm built. Deadlifts are easy for me physically.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you have to work hard. And over the years, I've developed a routine that seems to work for me. I pull once a week. Now, I know there's a lot of guys out there that say, oh, you pull every 2 weeks, otherwise you overtrain. And they're doing benches 4 days a week, you know. But
makes sense to me.
Yeah, right. So I deadlift every Saturday. And I've been fortunate to surround myself with some people who are very encouraging and are very motivated. And they do not allow me to slack off.
Right.
And I don't. I don't allow that either. And my philosophy is what I learned in the Marine Corps is if you're going to be a leader, you lead from the front. You lead by example. You show your people what you expect them to do. And that's what I try to do. But it's a very simple routine. And, you know, we meet, we stretch. It takes about 10-15 minutes to stretch. And I really work on stretching the hamstrings and getting my quads loose. And I've got it looks like a little rolling pin.
Okay.
And the CrossFit people use it, and I run that back and forth over my thighs and my hams and a little bit on my calves, and then I get somebody to roll it on my low back. And just like rolling out dough. It's about 18 inches long, and it's made out of plastic, and it's got these little plastic rings that are around the center rod, and when you push it, it just rolls. It's like getting a massage, and it stimulates the blood. And I do that, and then I – because of age, I have to put some liniment on my knees, then we're ready to go. And we do a pyramid every week, and we go a set of 10, a set of 8, a set of 6, a set of 4, a set of 2, and finish with a single. And each set, we add weight. And I start with 135 and get 10. And I read those the first two or three sets, the 10, 8, and 6, I really focus on my form. Keeping my bottom down, keeping the bar close. Deadlifting is mandatory that you keep that bar close. If it floats away, you're screwed. I don't care how strong you are. You know, it's got to stay close. And so we focus on that. And then we get a 10, set of 10 with 135, a set of 8 with 2.25, a set of 6 with 315. And then most of the time I can crack 4 with 405.
Yep.
And I use that as my determiner.
Okay.
After that, I know I've got to get a double and I know I've got to get a single. And so how easy or how hard that 405 goes determines what I put on there for two. And that determines if I'm going to take a single or if I'm going to not. And there are some weeks, you know, as I phrase it in the write-up in that Gym Rats thing that I put you on.
Yep.
Some weeks gravity and age wins, but other weeks we kick it right square in the throat and we leave victorious, you know. And
I love
the attitude you have to have when you're deadlifting. And I learned this. I've been fortunate enough to go to two world championships in 1980 and 1984 in Dallas. And watching the best of the best do this and had the opportunity to talk to Doyle Kennedy, who's no longer with us. And I've lived 30 miles from Ricky Dale Crane, who is a four-time world champion. I've had the opportunity to train with Walter Thomas, who is a five-time world champion. He lives here in this, in the area that I live. And just talking with them, the bottom line is, if you're going to deadlift with any kind of success, you have to get yourself totally mentally prepared before you even enter the gym.
Okay.
You've got to rehearse the lifts in your mind. Okay. Like a pilot, when they get in the plane, they've got a clipboard with a checklist, and you check, you know, all the things they've got to check.
Yep.
And Saturday mornings, as I'm eating my breakfast, I'm going over in my head what we're going to do and how it's going to work out, who's going to go first. You know, there's usually anywhere between 7 to 12 people that pull with me on Saturday. And so we set up a deal, who's going to go first, and I usually go first, but then after that, who's going to follow? And how are we going to do it? And, you know, and how are we going to get everybody on the same page at the same time, which is, by that I mean, everybody's cheering for the guy on the platform. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
You have to have that team support. And I have been so fortunate to have the right kind of people with me. So what I glean from talking to these world-class guys is that you have to believe with all your heart that you are the baddest SOB on the planet when you step on that platform. Because if there's the flicker of doubt, that bar is going to stay on the floor.
Yep.
You know, and after you've done your lift and you put it down and you step off that platform, then you got to revert back to being a cool dude again. You can't have that badass attitude all the time, because then nobody wants you around them, you know?
Exactly. No, you're right on the money. Right on the money.
I call it, get that gunfighter attitude. Okay. You know, we're in Dodge City and you're facing off against a bad guy. You're going to be quick enough and bad enough and straight enough to take him out. You do your lift, you put it down and you go off and you get your head ready for the next set. And the reason I like Saturdays here so much, I've got a gym in my backyard. You know, I built a building and everybody comes here. And if you lived in the area, you would certainly be in our crowd. I can tell you that.
I'd hang with you for sure. But I'd probably be the biggest pain in the ass you ever had in the neighborhood.
I've got a couple of guys that but it's all fun, you know, and I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It truly, truly is family. I mean, I've got five ladies that lift with me, and I've got about six or seven guys. I've got two women who are in their 50s, and then the other ladies are in their 20s and 30s, and then this young teenage girl who just started, you know, and she's the daughter of a former student, and her mom's one of the ladies that lives with us. And then I've got guys lifting with me that run all the way from 19 up to their mid 50s, you know. So it's family. I've been so fortunate to have this group, and they have told me that they just feel so, what's the word I'm looking for? So accepted, and they feel that when they enter the gym and get on that platform that they're invincible. And every week, somebody, not everybody, but every week somebody breaks a PR. And it's just, I think it's because of the atmosphere that's there. You know, if you're lifting, well, you've seen some of the videos that I put out. If you're lifting, you've got six people screaming and hollering and clapping at you, and you'll be a son of a gun if you're going to quit. You know, you can't quit in that kind of atmosphere. You just hang until you get it done, you know. And so there's really no secret. We work hard and we enjoy doing what we're doing. There's a lot of agate cracking going on while we're doing it. And I think that takes your mind off how much you're hurting while you're doing it, you know.
But absolutely.
I've told these kids, all of them, I said, you know, I would go to combat with every one of you guys. I trust you that much. You're my brother. You're my sister, and I know you got my back. And I, you know, in order to be successful, you have to have that feeling that when you're with the people you're with, that you can trust them totally.
Well, I was just going to say that, because we live in a world that is very non-trusting, very quick to point fingers at, very quick to put you down. And I got to tell you, Carmen, I'm really sick of all this shit that's going on. And I know the score. I don't have to get emotionally involved with it. But, you know, when you, I saw a thing that to me was really disturbing the other day, and I'm not going to get into my political views or anything like that, but it had something to do with politics. And if this is the body of what's coming up in the world, we better keep lifting until they shred us up and put us in the ground. That's, I mean it too.
I've expressed that same thing to the people training with me. You know.
Well, I saw a thing. It was the other night when they had that big brouhaha, which was nothing with Donald Trump. Yeah. And there was a young girl. She couldn't have been any more than 7 or 8 years old. She's holding up a sign with whoever she was with, and it says, F Donald Trump.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, what are you raising here? Whether you like this guy or not, what are you teaching your kid? And when your kid goes out and blows somebody's brains out of their head, it's going to be everybody else's fault. So, you know, this is the shit that's going on out there. And when you're telling me you're working with generations, you got little Al here who just turned 15, where you're watching these changes. I mean, he never squatted in his life. He's been squatting 3 weeks. He hit a 100-pound squat.
That's awesome.
Right down, ass down, you know, clean, learning how to do the 1-2 step, learning how to squeeze the traps with breathing, sink the third breath, down he goes, all right? This is what I believe in. This is what, and I think you and I have even talked about this, even with the schools. I've talked about it with so many people. If I had a school, not only would these kids learn about finance in the real world, how to save, how to make your money work for you, but how to be a good person, how to teach, okay?
Exactly.
But every one of them would be in the gym with us every day.
I agree with you. I think that is so important. When you're lifting weights, you're stimulating your body physically. You're doing it some good. You know, the body is meant to be used. And the weightlifting, the weight training does that. But you're also, at the same time, stimulating your mind. And when you're finished and you put that bar down after you've done a good set, or if you're fortunate, if you've set a PR, only people that have done this activity can totally understand the way you feel. There's no feeling that compares to that, you know? And it's just so hard to explain to people, because it's a combination of sweat, time, mental energy, and physical energy, and overcoming pain. Because what we do is not easy. It hurts, you know. That bar chews your hands up. It strains your body. But I love it.
You know something?
What does that say about me, you know?
What it said, well, you know, it's like they're going to say about me, too. They're like, what the hell's wrong with you? Why do you go here? Why do you do this? You know, you got hurt. Don't you think it's time to slow down? I look at him, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And at that point, too, Carmen, there's no reasoning with people that have that in their head. I mean, I could give you 100 reasons why, and all they'll keep saying to me is, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy. It's like, really? Crazy, huh? Because I want to do better than I should be able to do, because I want to grow stronger mentally and physically, because I want to be a teacher about it, because I want to do something that's not ordinary. I always want to be extraordinary.
Right.
Most people have been taught that those things you never want to explore, never want to go after. You never want to exceed anybody else's expectations. And then you're sitting there all unhappy why you can't do well in a job, why you don't have a good relationship with your girlfriend or boyfriend, why everybody in the world hates your guts, or why you can't get along with anybody, and, you know, why you can't lose that 40 pounds of fat, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I got news for you, man. You know, there can be a million programs you could go to that you could come to, you and I, all over. But the bottom line is this, and this is nothing new. It's like, it's up to you, huh?
Always.
I mean, you're the one who's going to decide, do I want to lace my sneakers up and go over and deadlift with Carmen? Do I want to lace my gear up and go over and I'm going to learn how to stone lift with Eric, or do all the wild, you know, tri-quad squats we're exploring now, or the one-arm Olympic bar deadlifts, all this stuff? I never did any of that stuff before. I got to tell you right now, and you said it before we came on, I haven't been this stoked about training in years. And this is coming from a guy that's trained over two decades, man. You know, most people
that,
are lucky.
Keep,
go ahead.
Keeping that, that attitude burning is helped if you can get new people in the gym with you. You know,
absolutely.
Because that young blood comes in, those younger kids, like this 14-year-old girl, she is so enthusiastic to do this. You know, she bugs her mom every day, can we go to the gym? And she's 3 days a week. You know, she comes Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And I have her doing some lower body work on Tuesday and upper body work on Thursday, and then we deadlift on Saturday. And she is so amped up about this. You know, she's 90 pounds, and she is just – I'd go to combat with her. She is focused. She is determined to succeed, and she has got an iron will. You've seen video of her pulling. She gets on that bar, and she won't quit till it's over. You know, and that's the attitude. You know, to see that, it gets me fired up because well, crap, you know, she's trying to learn from me. I need to show her that I'm not going to quit either. You know,
exactly.
And I've got these younger guys that are nipping at me saying, we're going to, this today's the day we're going to outlift you, old man. And I said, and my standard comeback on that is, well, okay, but you may do that. And you go out and say, yeah, I outlifted coach today. And they're going to say, how old your coach? And you're going to say 70. And they say, well, hell, you ought to be able to. If you can't outlift a 70-year-old man, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. And you know what else I'd be saying too is like, 35 years from now, let's see what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Like longevity is going to be the key to anything you do.
Yeah, you just have to have motivators. And for me, I'm pretty much self-motivated. I've got this burning desire to be the best I can, and I don't want to quit. But I also am a teacher. I taught sixth grade for 30 years, and as such, I love teaching people new things and to see them be successful. When they come in and start and you see them making progress and you see the changes in them, not only physically, but their attitude, the way they feel about themselves, the way they carry themselves, that is so cool for me, you know. And this young girl's mom, she told me, she contacted me and she said, you know, she said she was so unsure of herself until she started coming over here with us. Now she's not afraid to go up and talk to people. She's confident in herself. She knows that she's capable of doing something, you know.
And not only that, Carmen, do you realize what you've done for her is this? Kids that are more confident in themselves are not going to get misled by the other ones. So they're going to be independent enough where they're going to be like, I know this isn't the right thing to do. I'm not worried about public sentiment. I'm going to sentiment. And I'm going to go do what I want to do because I don't want to be around people like that. Yeah, it's – my brother-in-law was talking to me. You know, he's got four girls you know, a little boy. He just turned five. And the first two are very athletic. My one niece is a long-distance runner who's running with the varsity now. She just turned 14.
Cool.
And she is – I call her the road runner. And she's going to start – you know, she's placing very, very high – up with these old, you know, these are 18-year-olds she's running
That's
with, all right?
That's a big gap at that age, too.
It's a big gap. And she's very good, obviously. And, you know, it's in both sides of the family. There's all good athletes on both ends. So, and size and all that, too. Now, the next one, Suzanne, she's lean but very powerful. And she's more of a shorter distance runner. And she wants to get more into, and I'm encouraging the hell out of her. So is my brother-in-law. She wants to get into more of like shot putting,
right.
Track, more track and field, and that's an amazing thing. And then, you know, the other two girls, my little niece who just turned eight, you ought to see her do handstands and getting wrestler's bridges. I mean, I call her the spider.
Yeah.
I've never seen a kid that could just do stuff like that where she could be on the tip of the couch, which she's not supposed to be standing on, and she could land, you know, with a somersault and still be, I mean, unreal. And I got the little guy. You know, every time he comes over here, I got him flipping a 15-inch tire already. So I just kind of let him go, and I have bricks out there for him to pick up if he wants to. He's got some little stones over the house. But my brother-in-law was talking about Olivia, and this girl, I'm telling you, I think she's 10. I mean, I've never seen such an organized kid in my life, man. And I always say to her, when I'm ready to retire, you're going to take over the business. And she always starts laughing because she's that type of kid, man,
she'd
already.
Probably do it now if she wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. It's amazing. But my brother-in-law said, you know, she's very sensitive to what people say to her, which, you know, it's not only guys. I've seen girls, you know, a lot like that. And he said, I don't know, you know, sometimes I really wonder if she lacks confidence. And, you know, they all listen to the show, and he goes, I love how you talk about confidence. Now, I mean, this guy's played semi-pro ball. You know, he's a varsity football coach. He's no stranger to all the talking, and he gives speeches all the time. But he goes, you know, she really loves to talk to you, and coming from you, it might be a whole different thing. So the other night I was over there for dinner, and they had kids everywhere because of sleepovers and all that. And I started talking to Livy, and I was like, and I didn't say anything that Dan told me anything about it, but I was like, you know, what goes on? Do your feelings get hurt easy? Does it bother you? Do you feel less you know, what is it around people? And she started talking about it. And I said, and I just told her things like, you know, the only one that can make you feel bad is you. The ones out there, they don't mean anything. They're not the ones that are going to tell you you're this, that, and the other thing. And you've got to learn to get beyond that. You know, I told her, you know, I say it on the show. Words can do more damage to somebody than a shot right to the dimple in the chin.
You know,
all right?
You know what I think on that?
What's that?
You know, I took some beatings as a kid from parents and other people. And the physical beating heals.
Yeah,
but those verbal shots stay with you for a lifetime, and I think that's one of the things that motivates me now. I had things said to me as a child that really left a dinger on me, and every time I lift something and I'm pushing myself, and every time it's a successful lift, I put it down and said, see, I'm not worthless, you know. I can do stuff. I can freaking do stuff, you know.
And you've proven it,
yeah,
man.
That's
right. You're not around this long doing this without – you know, knowing what you're doing. And you know, that's the thing. You got to settle the score with a lot of things. But, you know, I think she's got so much intelligence with things. You know, you just talk to her a little bit, and
yeah,
it's going to register with her. But, you know, look, at you, everybody's had things said to us, and some of it has been pretty nasty. And a lot of times, as they say, a good insult will last a lifetime.
Yep.
But the thing you didn't do is you didn't stay there in it. You didn't have, you know, you weren't standing in quicksand for the last 45 years of your life. You decided, hey, I'm going to be in the military. I'm going to be a school teacher. I'm going to teach lifting to the masses, and I'm going to change lives. See, that's the difference between you growing out of that, even though you still got it with you, but you never let that stop you. And see, this is the things that I want to stop happening to people,
right,
especially kids. Don't let some asshole tell you that you're no damn good and you're going to carry that around for the rest of your life, because there's just too many things with whether you're feeling sorry for yourself or nobody's working with you to help you out, yeah, or you just adopt the thing like, hey, I'm a loser, I can't do anything. Well, where are you going to end up then? Most likely right in the gutter.
Right.
All right? So why do we want to do that? I mean, and I don't understand that self-hate and this and that. I you know, I've had plenty of things. I mean, there's this guy – I was telling we were talking about one day, this guy, Dennis. He was a lot older guy than me as a kid, and he used to bully everybody. I hate that word, even bullying. Let's just say he liked to be the head dog, all right? Now, he was at least 5 years older than all of us, and he was a pretty big guy. I mean, now I'd say he was probably a fathead totally.
Yeah.
But when he grabbed you or pushed you down or slammed you, I mean, you could only do so much because, you know, when you're weighing 100 pounds or 105 pounds and he's tipping probably 180,
yeah,
there's a little bit of an advantage there. And when you're young and, you know, you don't know how to fight or you haven't lifted weights, blah, blah, blah. Well, I can remember one time, I was probably 13, maybe 12, and I had started lifting at 10. And I was really tired of this guy because one day him and his buddy, they were screwing around with everybody, and there was this big dumpster. I'll never forget it. And they came at me, and I caught him with a shot, right? And it didn't knock him back, but it surprised the shit out of him. So him and this guy grabbed me arms and legs. Now, I'm trying to free myself. None of the other kids are going to do anything because they're petrified of this guy. And that motherfucker, excuse my French, threw me in the dumpster.
Yeah.
Okay? And shut that lid on me. All right?
Yeah.
And I got out of there, and I said, I'm going to get that son of a bitch one of these days. I was never so mad in my life. I came home to my father and I told him, and my father was the old Italian, and it was like, then we do something about it. I can remember when we hung a heavy bag between the rafters in my house. I had such rage in me. I was hitting that thing so hard, we had to take it down. It was shaking the floor right out of the house.
Think, you know, I think you touched on something. Everybody's got to have a motivator.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got to have a reason why. And for me, it was to prove to people that I wasn't worthless like they said I was.
Exactly.
You know? And in yours, it was to not have that kind of stuff happen again, you know. And and I've tried to set up my training to be that there's more successful lifts made than there are.
Exactly.
Because I read, Franco Colombo, Arnold's buddy, wrote a book years ago and I bought it. And in there, he said he enjoyed training, but he especially made a point to finish each session with a good, successful lift.
Yes.
That way, he would look forward to the next session even more. If you miss a lift, and when I miss a lift, and it happens more often than I care to anymore, it just chews on me till my next workout. I would much rather be happy until my next workout than be ticked off until my next workout. So I try to get across to my people, we've got a program here. We know that we're going to go 10, 8, 6, 4, 2,
right,
and maybe 1. Choose your weights so each set is successful and you feel good about the weight. You feel good about the way you did it.
Yep.
And most importantly, you feel good about the way you feel about it. So your next set, you're even more amped and more ready and more sure that you're going to have a success. Because the worst, you know, a failure in a weight room is just like the plague to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would much rather not even go in than to go through a workout and have it be half-hearted and sloppy and wind up not feeling well mentally or physically afterwards. So we try to tailor our routines to where everybody's going to be happy and have a feeling of, well, we killed it today. I may not have lifted as much today as I did last week, but the sets went easier. My form my form was better. And on deadlifts, form is everything.
Without a doubt. Well, and you got to figure this, too, as one of the older guys that were around the Y and that when we were little kids, they used to always say to us, man, leave with your heaviest sets.
That's
and that sets you up for the next
one. That's exactly right. And that's what I try to impress on these kids, you know, young people, is, okay, when we're finished, are you ready to come back next time? Oh, yeah, then we had a good session, you know?
Right. Well, I'm going to give everybody, like you said, when you lift, you think about what people said to you. Well, I'm going to give you the silver lining of this whole thing. This guy, Dennis, was still bullying people. I'm downstairs lifting sand and steel iron now. I got a heavy bag out in the garage, and I'm starting to be able to nail stuff. Now I'm 13 and a half. He's probably 19. Still around, I'd see him, you know, he wouldn't, you know, he'd still come and push off, and I just kept going away from him, walking away, all right? So, I don't know, it was probably just before my 14th birthday in July, and I'm coming around the corner, you know, from my house to go out on the main road to walk down to the store. Who's coming? Him and his buddy. And he crosses the road, and I said, well, Eric, this is it. This is now you have to do something. My adrenaline is pumping like you can't even imagine. I'm nervous, man. He comes over, and he goes, big weightlifter I hear now, huh? Now, I had put on probably 12 to 13 pounds over that year.
Right.
I was definitely filling out more because I was just a skinny, long limb kid, right?
Right.
And he comes over, and he went to put his hands. He stretched his hands out. I hit him right on the butt of the chin, and I knocked that piece of shit out just about on his knees down.
There you go.
And I went to – I was going to knee him right in the face, and I was like, you know what, man? He's not worth it. He got back up, and he was going to do something. And he just put his hands down, and he goes – I'll get you one of these days or something that I said. You won't ever put your hands on me again, asshole.
He was done.
That he never touched me again, and guess what? None of the older guys ever fucked with me ever again after that.
That's what it takes sometimes. You know?
Yep. And I don't tell people a lot of that, but you know, when you said that about your instances, it really stirred that in me because I want to tell everybody out there, I don't condone pushing anybody around, but I don't like people laying their hands on me. I never have. I don't like that shit. All right?
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Look at. This is taught nowadays not to. It's taught to turn your back on somebody. We'll never turn your back on any opponent. If you're going to turn, walk backwards to wherever you're going. Right. Or if you are being threatened with a knife or gun, I'm not going to laugh at you if you run. If you're saving your own life, there's going to be another day. But I just want to tell everybody out there, and we know we got a lot of kids listening here, don't let anyone manhandle you or treat you like a piece of garbage. Yeah. Go to your parents. Go to your friends. If you're not comfortable with your parents, go to their parents. But do not hold that stuff in. Go out and learn how to get stronger mentally and physically. You know something? The people of the world like that are usually the weakest, softest, non-confident things in the world.
The minute you stand up to them, they turn and run like that guy did, you know? And I think if you can get into an activity that you become stronger physically, then along with that goes a mental strength too, because you have much more confidence in yourself. And when you walk into a room, you don't necessarily think about who can I take out in here, you know, who's better than me. You walk into the room and you say, there's nobody better than me, but I'm not any better than anybody else, but I'm not going to let anybody bull me over either.
Yeah. Hey, you and I both know. You might know what you pull off the floor or press off the bench or whatever you want to do. But in a situation where you know how to control yourself in a fight, how much power do you really know what you got?
Right.
You don't.
That's right.
You don't. And, you know, a shot from a guy like us,
it's going to leave a
delivered in the right way could kill somebody.
It's leave a dent, like you say in your things there, you know, dominate and dent, you know.
Yeah, dominate, obliterate, and dent.
That's right.
Everything.
That'll leave him a reminder. So maybe I better not do that again, you know.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. But, you know, I'm not condoning any of that stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, be a man or a woman, stand your ground, like you said, and you know what? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and you're going to take care of it one way or another. And if they get you, which they probably won't, they're probably going to quit because they're going to know that they're wrestling with a boa constrictor base.
It's like, not worth it.
So, you know, no, it's not worth it. With the deadlift, obviously, you know, we talked about how you arrange your sets and reps and everything.
I want to get back to that because during the week, we squat on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And so we'll do the leg work, you know, the hamstring work, the leg curls, and so on. And I think a lot of people overlook working their hamstrings, and hamstrings come into play in the deadlift because when you're down in that deep position to get that bar moving, your hams really help activate and motivate everything. So I do a lot of hamstring work as well as regular squats, but after I'm finished with the squats, I will do heavy shrugs, or some people call them lockouts, just to get used to feeling that bar in my hands and get my central nervous system used to that overload feeling. So when you are pulling it from the floor, your mind is not going into panic mode saying, oh, my God, what are we doing here? Abort, you know. It's, okay, we got this. You've done something similar to this earlier, you know. But I do them on Tuesdays to give my lower back and hips time to heal up by Saturday.
Yep.
Okay. When I was younger, I used to squat on Wednesdays and we'd pull on Saturdays. And as I got older, I thought, this isn't working. So I started squatting on Tuesdays. And then, you know, we pull on Saturday and I don't train anything. And Sundays, I don't do anything except eat and rest.
That's a good thing.
And it gives me, I rebuild, you know.
Hey.
I hit the week and I lift Monday through Saturday. And I I'll do bench work Monday and Thursday, and I'll do squats Tuesday, some pull downs and rows, dumbbell rows, and that sort of thing on Wednesday, and then a light bench routine on Thursday, and the same as Wednesday on Friday, and then we hit the gym hard on Saturday. And I just feel that you need to train the whole body because deadlifts work the whole body, but in order for it to be successful, your grip has to be strong. Your shoulders have to be strong. Your upper back has to be strong. And if you don't train those areas, it doesn't matter how big your legs are and how strong your legs are, you're not going to get that bar moving. And the secret to the deadlift is to get that bar moving. And if you focus on doing those shrugs once that bar hits your knees and you rotate those hips and start locking out, your upper back and shoulders are strong enough to hang on to it till completion. And then it's okay, put her down and you're done, you know. But I'm not an advocate of a lot of what people are doing now. I see on Facebook with chains and bands and all.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
And boards and all that crap. I'm thinking, you know, I've done this 56 years now. I've been relatively successful. I may not have been a world champ, but I'm a 3-time national champ. And I have set some national records, American records, you know, and I hold state records. And so I think I've figured it out. I think I figured it out, what works and what doesn't. And that's what I'm trying to get across to these folks that train with me. It, you know, everybody's built. We're all the same, but we're different. We've all got muscles. Yeah. We all got bones, but they're assembled a little different, leverages and so forth. And my motivation for doing this is going to be different than yours is. It's going to be different than Jerry's is. It's going to be different than Donnie's is. And it's going to be different than little Z's is, you know, because she's a 14-year-old junior high girl. Yeah. She's wanting to get stronger for track and for just to feel better, you know, and I'm trying to slow down the aging process. So there's two different things, but we can still train together and still have a common goal, which is what? Make yourself better. Make yourself stronger, you know.
And you know what? I think that gets lost in it. Now, I'm with you, too, with the chains and the bands. I mean, I'll use bands sometimes to warm up if I'm not going to do the other stuff. But look, it looks good. I'm sure for some people it works good. But you know something? The bottom line is I like the strongman end of stuff, you know, live bags, live rocks, all that stuff. Obviously, the power rack is big for me because I don't have usually anybody here. So I got to have a big safety feature, and I don't do anything easy, man. I mean, you know, screwing around the squats now I'm doing and the one arm this and the one arm that and training one side. I mean, I don't know any other way, and I don't need any gimmicks. I don't need anything flashy. I mean, if you're coming to look at my stuff, yeah, I've got tons of stuff all over, but, you know, it's nothing flashy. A lot of it's used.
Yeah.
It suffices for me, and it's brutal looking out there. And you had talked about atmosphere. If you came up my driveway, the last third of it, it would grab your attention, even if the garage door. Right. And you and I both know that that motivates you to even be better because you're like, what the hell is this guy doing back here, man? You know what I mean?
Then my first thought would be, okay, am I going to be hoss enough to hang with this dude? I better nut up here and get it going, you know?
Absolutely.
That's what I expect people to say when they come into my place, you know?
Absolutely. And you know what the cool thing is? Absolutely, you're going to put out more horsepower.
Oh, sure you are.
You're going to want to come here and do good, all right?
Yeah, because you're not going to get I can't get blown out of the tub here, man, you know what I mean?
No, but you know what the coolest thing is, Carmen? It's like, you do what you can here because you're going to get a whole new perception of what training is, at least from my eye here. And, you know, we'll have a good time. We'll probably ride each other a little bit. But I got news for you. Nobody here is ever put down unless they don't perform or if they come here and they look like they haven't gotten enough sleep. That's the only way you're going to really get some shit with me.
That's the same thing here, and the guys that live with me tell me that. You know, they say, well, you're really cool about letting anybody come. And I said, well, why not? This stuff is not going to wear out. It's going to wear us out long before we wear it out, right?
Absolutely.
So having said that, anybody that shows a desire, I'm more than willing to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to be a smart mouth and a wise guy, and when they stop and he said, well, you will handle it from there because they don't want those kind of people around. We only want people who are focused and are willing to put out and show up and make progress and encourage others because no matter where you go, there's always going to be somebody stronger, you know, because what your max is could be some big old dude's warm up, you know, I mean, it's just the way it is. I've done this a long time, and I've seen a lot and done a lot, and I've seen it happen. There's always somebody stronger, so be happy with what you can do, and then pay it forward. Pass that knowledge on and help somebody.
And not everybody is going to be or wants to be the champion of the world. Some people have different reasons for why they train. I mean, you look at the indicators of strength. Follow the Arnold last week. Eddie Hall deadlifted 1,026. He broke Brian Shaw's 1,023 just before that. You know, you watch Shaw manhandle a 550-pound Atlas Stone. It looked like he was picking up 100 pounds,
I saw that.
You know, Zydrunas, all of them, popping that 450-pound log over. I mean, it is absolutely amazing, you know. And who won? If you want to call him the old guy, Zydrunas won.
That's right.
And I don't think he's 100% health-wise. I've heard a lot of things back and forth. But the ability, what this does for you, whether it's deadlifting, squatting, 8 reps, 5 reps, one single, okay? What it does, it affords you to be as strong, as healthy, as mentally powerful as you want to be. I mean, you kind of decide, unless you have a career-ending injury, how far you can go. How many years do you want to train? Do you want to be 70 years old, still throwing up the big weights like Carmen? You got that ability. What ends up happening is, you know, I have friends of mine that got married, all right? And I hear that a lot. Well, I'm a married man now, and I'm like, okay, what's that got to do with anything? Well, you don't understand. You know, I've got to spend time. And I said, you don't think I've had girlfriends consistently for a lot of time? Yeah, but it's different. I said, well, how's it different, man? How's it? Tell me, how's it different? Well, you know, you own a house now, and, you know, you have a kid or two, and I understand that, but you can't go down in your basement or go somewhere outside maybe like we like to do. You can't go train for a half an hour. Your wife is going to give you that much shit. And here's my take, and this has happened to me a million times. That's probably why I'm not married. If you don't like it, or you like it in the beginning, and you know, because I don't go out with anyone unless they've trained or train whatever, then goodbye. I mean, I'll compromise to a point. But what I'm doing here is just much different. It requires a lot of time. A business requires a lot of time. And if you don't want to make the best of when we're together and have somebody that gives a shit about you, then you know what? Then you got to go find somebody that does, I guess.
I've been very fortunate in that because I'll be married 39 years in August to this wonderful lady. And when we started dating, she told me straight out, you know, she said one of the things that attracted her was the way I looked. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what happens with that is that I lift weights and I have to do it on a regular basis. And she said, okay. And so I was working a second job. I was teaching school at the time, but I was also working in the evenings at the local Y here, you know, as a desk guy and so on. And I was in an apartment, so I didn't have access to my own weights yet. And so by doing that, I had access to the weight room. And what I would do is when I'd close up, I'd stick back and work out and then leave, you know? And so this one evening, we'd had about 3 or 4 dates, and she taught at the same school I did. She was a kindergarten teacher and I was 6th grade. So we didn't see each other at all during the day.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm getting ready to close up this one evening and I see her car pull in the parking lot and she gets out and walks in and she said, can I come in? And I said, sure. And I said, I'm getting ready to do my workout. And she said, I know. That's what I wanted to watch. And I told her, I said, well, your fate is sealed because you're the one I've been looking for.
Yeah, where the hell you been, man? Jeez.
And I got so,
but you're very fortunate.
You know, and she supports me. She encourages me. She's in the front row when I'm lifting in the meet, you know.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something, Eric. When your wife is screaming at you, make this lift, I'll friggin' die before I put that bar down.
That's great.
Because I know I'm going to have to drive home with her in my ear saying, why'd you miss that lift?
That's the best, though, isn't it?
Well,
better than somebody putting your ass down and telling you to get out.
I am lucky. I truly am fortunate to have that, you know.
Yes, you are.
And I appreciate it so much. But it anything a person does is because there's a lot of other people contributing to that effort. You know, the people that I train with encourage me. I hope I encourage them. We're family. We truly are a family, and we live and breathe and die for one another, and we encourage. And if somebody's struggling, we'll try to figure out a way to help them not struggle. And it's the same thing with my wife. She knows when I'm having a hard time, she'll come out and she'll try to spot technique flaws or whatever. And anything I've been able to accomplish has been through a lot of hard work on my own self, but it's because other people have supported me.
Yeah, yeah. They give a damn about you, which is an amazing thing nowadays because everybody's pretty much out for their own bacon.
Right.
And
right.
This is what all this type of activity teaches, you know. It teaches you discipline. It teaches you loyalty. We talk about honor. You're going to build honor because
yes.
You're not only going to be proud of what you do, but you're going to be honorable to those around you.
That's right.
And expectations is so big with everything. It's like if they know you're going after a 450-pound deadlift and, you know, maybe somebody else now is going to go for a 200-pounder or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you feed off one another, and you complement each other. And I don't mean just by saying you're doing great.
Saturday out here, okay?
Yeah.
I worked up to a 440 pull for my last pull. I pulled 440, yep. Okay? We download the bar, and this 14-year-old girl comes up, and she says, "Can I try 140? And I said, "Well, no." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because you're going to make 140.
Right, not try.
Right. And so, you know, we downloaded the bar,
yep.
And all these guys in here consider her to be our little sister, so everybody
sure, sure.
gets around her, and we're amping her up. I mean, I think she could have pulled 550. She stepped in there, and she yanked that thing like there was nothing. And she weighs 90 pounds, Eric.
Yeah,
90
right.
pounds. You've seen her.
Yep.
She's slender. She's very slim, but she's got this iron will. She will not
yep.
be defeated, you know?
Yep.
And on those occasions where it doesn't go, she gets really pissed.
But that's good because, you know, that teaches you right there. She's got expectations.
Exactly.
You know, as I always say, the power of purpose. Right.
Right. So.
Yeah. There's a million things out there you can read. They're all good. There's a million things you can go out and listen to. It's all good. But the bottom line is to be exceptional in a deadlift, a squat, a press. How about just being a human being? You got to go out and practice
That's
it.
Right.
You got to go out and get knocked down. You got to go out and learn. You got to go out and teach. You got to be taught. You know, I always say, it's great to hang around with people that are as good as you, but the real telltale of a winner is you want people that are better than you,
exactly.
that you are going to pull it up and get to there too.
Exactly.
Most people won't do that. Most people are looking for someone to give them the answers, and, you know, they're happy for a little while, and then it goes right back to what it was, and bang, I'm right back down on the ground again. Well, I want to break it to anybody that thinks like that because you're never going to get anywhere. You might have a little bit of a good feeling inside for a month or two, but if you haven't made, you know, if you haven't created your constitution, what you need to do to change these things, all it is just a Band-Aid, and we know Band-Aids fall off eventually, and then what do? So, you know, your atmosphere basically is going to dictate your attitude, and if you want to be a winner and you want to be around winners or whatever you define it as, then that's what you've got to go out and seek, or
that's right.
if you start thinking right, it's going to start seeking you.
That's right.
And that's the most important thing. I've seen more than enough people fall on their face and never get back up. They might get half speed again, but after that, it's it. So I think more than anything other than, you know, we're talking about obviously a deadlift and the other things that you do at your place, it's the idea that you're turning out more than a lifter here. You're turning out a real human being that can function. See, that's what I'm with Alex. I don't know where he's going to go with this. I mean, we're talking a strongman meet this summer. He's 15 years old. You know, I want to get him up to about 175 pounds of body weight for the meet, considering he came in here at 143. He's 161 now, and he should be able to do it, especially with, you know, the metabolic shot of the squatting now. I mean, once we start moving, you know, and he's a long, lanky kid. He's a basketball player. He's 6'1", so even at 161, I mean, he's filled out a little, but I mean, he's lean as a string bean still. All right, he's got good strength. He's come here a few times where I felt that he didn't perform to my expectations, but I never say to him that way. I just say to him, you know, you're not performing for yourself very well, are you? And you know, that's when the dialogue will start, because See, I won't let him get away with it. And, you know, if he pisses me off, he's going to really hear it.
That's right.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, I'm not a guy that's going to browbeat you. You pretty much can look at my face and kind of figure. I don't hide, you know, Italian, at least me, I don't hide things well facially. If you've kind of pissed me off, you're going to kind of get a look and you're going to know something's going on here, you know. And, you know, and I hear this all the time. Well, he's only 15. I said, I don't give a shit if he's 35. I said, what does he want to do here? And I'm not going to waste my time on somebody that doesn't want to work. Right. You and I both know it takes a lot of work to work with somebody, man.
And you know, and I don't mind helping folks, but I do expect them to meet me at least halfway. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I appreciate these guys that come here. You know, I've got three or four that are here every day, you know.
Yep.
This Jerry fella and Donnie and Joe and this Z, they're all good people, and they all are dedicated to making themselves better. And
absolutely.
And that's what it takes, you know, and there's nothing I won't do for them. They know that. And I know that there's nothing they won't do for me. If I'm struggling, they'll help me, you know. And that's what it's all about. I love this sport. I just wish that if I were king, everybody would squat and deadlift every week, you know.
I'll tell you what, I'm with you right there. And I love the idea of just how much better can you get? How much stronger can you get? And how are you going to put the rubber to the road? Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do today? Let's just say everything goes into the fire and you're like, okay, how are you going to react to it? How are you going to handle it with the next workout? And do I just maybe do one movement today and go as hard as I can? Or do I back off everything?
I think that's where experience comes in.
Absolutely.
The longer you've done it, the more you're able to read your body and say, and some days it tells you, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to knock the lights out. And other days it says, we're going to do this, but we're only going to do one thing.
Yep.
And you have to learn to listen to that. You know, when you're 20 years old, you ignore that. But, you know, as you get 70, like I am, soon to be 71, you start saying, yeah, I'm hearing you, and I agree with you. We're going to take it easy today. We're still going to lift, but I'm going to go relatively easy so I can come back the next time and just bust it out of here, you know.
Yeah.
And my goal is to be as strong as I can for as long as I can.
So,
that's all.
Hey, you know what I always say? I want to be 150 and still squat in 250.
There you go.
You know, I mean that's the key with everything.
I'm still able to pull. Thank goodness, I'm still able to pull more than twice my body weight, and I feel that is, like I said earlier, it's not as much as I could do, but it's the best I can do now. And as long as I'm doing the best I can do, then I'm setting an example. And I will not let these guys that train with me slack off. You know, I mean, we bust each other's chops, but and they know it's in fun, but they also know that it's in seriousness, too. If they're going to come in and drag tail, then we're going to have to discuss some things, you know.
Without a doubt, because you can't let that kind of stuff creep
in. No,
because
that'll ruin the whole team.
Definitely.
Just chews away at the foundation, you know.
So, you need that up tempo all the time, you know. Even, you know, look at, you know, I tell people, they're like, you know, with the show and stuff, you're always like fired up and all this. I said, there's some days I'm not, all right, because there could have been something happening with the business that things have happened 15 minutes sometimes before shows that were not good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I just don't feel it. But you know something? You become the professional you are. Yeah. They didn't do it to you. You got to come on. You have a responsibility to them and the listeners and the show to make it better and better and become bigger and bigger. And that's the way I proceed with everything, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, your innate intelligence will tell you anyways. If you listen to yourself internally and learn to turn that on correctly and turn all the bullshit noise off around you, you can become a force, man. And I mean a force of nature like you never have been. But, you know, it's like all this stuff, Carmen. We're never going to know everything. But, boy, oh, boy, I've learned a lot, and I plan on keep learning until I'm done here. And, you know, this is what it is with everything in life. It's like Why don't you want to get better? Why do you want to sit on the couch and watch countless hours of TV, which is garbage for you? You know, why don't you want to just go out and start maybe walking around the block every night, you know, and then maybe add a set of heavy hands or grab a couple 2.5-pound plates and start, you know, do a skiing motion or just carry them down to your sides like a farmer's walk? Well, that's not much. Well, it is much because you haven't done it, and it's like
more than
one
what
step.
We're doing.
Right, right. And you're building steps, and that is very important. But we're going to do everything we can here, and with people like you surrounding me and me working with you, and we have a great time here, we're going to get this stuff out, my friend. And, I mean, we're going to get it out everywhere. That is my mission in life here, to make my living with this and to get this stuff out everywhere. I would like nothing more within the next 18, 24 months where a bunch of us are standing and we are standing one by one giving speeches.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's to a room of 100 or a room of 10,000,
right,
where, you know what, we just cracked the whole market. And that dream I've had along with a lot of other people is we are bringing it now to you. As I always say at the end of the show, tell 100 friends, because if not, we're coming for you.
That's right.
So that's my belief. Do you want to summarize anything? You got anything else you want to bring up?
Again, I just appreciate you thinking I'm worthy enough to do this. This is my third time with you. And I was telling my wife before we started this today, I said, I still don't understand why he thinks I'm worthy. I'm just an old guy that is too stubborn to quit. But I appreciate what you've given me the opportunity to run my mouth. And I just really wish that more people would start into this sport, because it's a wonderful sport. You can do it all your life. I've been doing it 56 years. You know, you're in. Granted, I don't lift as much as I used to, but I'm still lifting more than most people can. And it just, it's a great activity. And the people I've met have been fantastic.
You know, I agree.
And as always, I appreciate the opportunity. And as always, I look forward to the next time.
Well, we'll have you on in April. There's no doubt about that. And as far as coming on here, you know, I'm a very loyal guy. I've always been. Win some, lose some with it. It's like anything. You take a chance on people. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
But I also have respect for people. And what you've done is monumental. And as a man, what you do now, and as a mentor, that's more important to me than deadlifting 1,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I agree with you. But
In the end, it's going to be those guys and gals that are still standing.
Right. You know.
Okay.
But what made me say that earlier, though, I look at who you've had on here. You know, that Stephen Santangelo and Roger Lapointe and guys like that. They're you know, Bill Hinburn. I know you've had, and you know, I look up to those guys. I'm just a dude that lifts at home. You know, that's why I don't feel qualified, but I'm glad you think I am, and I enjoy the opportunity, and I appreciate everything that you're trying to accomplish here.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that, Carmen. And, you know, I've told you before, you know, we have you on every month, and you're always welcome to be here, because I think you lend, you know, what you think you don't have, you lend in other ways, and that's very important. And, you know, I I'm always a guy, you know, like most people, you're the big, you know, I'm a big Rocky fan and that underdog.
Yeah.
I love
the
idea of, you know, being exceptional. I won't take that I won't, you know, I've come to a point now where, I can't really be around people that don't think in that way. I can be friendly with you, but I don't want to hang around
right.
with you.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're not going to ever have negativity in your life. That's part of life. I mean, we all have to deal with that. But, you know, I love the idea where, you know something, man, you know, you don't have the fanciest equipment and you don't have a big trainer that you're paying 10 grand a month to, and you're not wearing the latest clothes and you're training in a controlled environment. You can take all that shit and shove it, man.
That's right.
You know where I'd rather be? I've said this on shows. I mean, it's pretty nasty here. It hasn't been a hard winter, but normally is. You could stick my ass in the middle of Siberia with a place, even though they didn't train there, in Rocky IV.
No.
And I'll tell you what, man, I could survive it and I would live it.
Right.
I can do it because I would want to do that. And I'll tell you why, is I'd like to see if it could kill me.
Yep.
And maybe it would, but I'll tell you what.
Maybe it wouldn't.
Exactly. And I'll tell you one thing. You're never going to see me running with my tail between my legs. I've been through way too much shit in the last 3 years. It's like you can beat me over the head a million times, and I'm going to get up a million and one. I at this point, it's almost like, you know, as they say, struggle equals success. It's like, do I want to do that every day of the week? It'd be like being a bear like you are in the gym when you train. No, that's not healthy. But circumstances are things that happen, and you have to react one way or another to them. And when you get to a point in your life where you're where you're at, you know you're ready to turn corners, you know you're going to do this and that, you're not turning back. You can't. Subconsciously, you cannot do that. That would be almost like me ripping my heart out. And the last thing I'm going to do is do self-surgery on myself. So you know what I mean? It's like it's not there. So as far as you and a lot of the other guys and girls on here, I mean, this is a forum for everybody. I don't, like I've said before, I don't care if you lift a 150-pound rock or a 450. I'm a guy that always believes someone has something to offer to everybody. And it might be a guy sitting there like me and saying, shit, what Carmen just said now clicks to me. See, I don't get involved with any of that stuff, but I understand what you're saying. But, you know, you're welcome here as much as anyone else. You know, I like that. I think you've got a really – I won't say it's a product, but in some ways I will, because you're doing it out of the generosity of your heart and you're caring. But you've got quite a good product sitting there, how you do things. And
thank you.
I think that's something that needs to get out to people. They need to know who the hell you are. And I just think it's a win-win for you and me and the family of listeners out there. And that's why you're here. And you're a likable guy, too,
Thank
I guess.
Thank you very much. Tell my wife that, would you?
Yeah, I'll give you my phone number. Right. She can call me up. I'll tell her. What else? You got anything else, Carmen?
No, not really. I think we covered it. The last time we were on, you know, the guys said they wanted me to talk how we train. So I did that. And, you know, and we covered a lot of things today.
Not kidding.
And I appreciate the opportunity. I truly do, Eric.
Anytime, Carmen. Let me just give my stuff out and hang on a minute, and we'll sign
you
off.
Got it, brother.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com. Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice. Go out to Primal Creations at AOL.com or on Facebook. STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75 Grassland Beef. That's our buddy John Wood, loaded with CLAs, omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished. They've got grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, other wellness products. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. This is a workout logbook for your success. You can also go out to Amazon Prime and get it for $5, no shipping. StrongerGrip.com. They've been around for 10 years. They make equipment for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestlers. And also, too, you've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine. And they make custom hammers for Mick Dodge and, of course, all of us seeking strength out there. That leads into, obviously, the big hammer Ryan built for myself, FBC. You can win that hammer. You got to have your video uploaded to YouTube by March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. On the line, the subject line, FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash, what it is, go down below in the box. Please add an email address, and if you want to explain it further, that's even better. If we pick you and there's no email address in there, we go to the next one. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody. And it doesn't matter if you're on the show or not. We encourage everybody to enter this thing. You're going to win a smoking-looking hammer, all right? So, and then best of all, you get to come on Motivation and Muscle and do a three-way call with us. And just think, if you're real good and you've never been on here, there's a chance maybe you'll start coming on every once in a while. So it's a win-win for everybody. So get involved. 8xclub.com, that's Donnie's company, Donnie Gianfardino, great guy. They're adjustable exercise clubs and maces. They make these clubs and maces for the AKA Vintage Strength Games. And as he said here in his note, he is a proud sponsor of the M&M podcast. I thank Donnie for that. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. E-book, download it. You know, what can I say? Read the 10 paragraphs. Commit, take action. You know, get in with a group of guys like Carmen and girls. Get people that support you. But, you know, it's not that hard. Don't be bashful about life. Go out and just grab it right by the nose and rip it. That's all. Fiorella Barbell Co., strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are the two biggest things I've put out. I've got a lot of stuff we're going to be putting out. They're life-changing, and everything on there I've done. If you want to contact me or you'd like Carmen and I to do a specific show, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. That'll come right to me. I will get back to you. You'll have it within 24 hours. Also, too, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what I've got, and I thank everybody for that. Facebook, Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to help them out. We had talked about words, Carmen and I, you know, stuff that happened to him with Dennis, the guy that got his button knocked off him because he screwed with me one too many times. And it's an example of what things can do for you, how you can reach people and make them exceptional. And that's what Carmen does. That's what I do. And everybody associated with this show is authentic. That's why they're all on here. If they weren't, they would not be on here. I will not sell out to anyone, any way. I don't care what it is. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Thirdly, if you're going to lift today, tonight, whatever, press it, pull it, squat it, twist it, bend it. If you're going to mess around with rocks, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone says in red, blood red, domination on both sides. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anybody. And I'll tell you this right now. There are going to be millions on top of millions of our family listening. And I mean that sincerely. That is very big to me. I got news for you. We're going to be in each other's pocket, as we used to say as kids. And I mean that in a way that Carmen and I, when this shows up, you're going to hear that type of philosophy, man. And it is not bullshit. It's all very important. Don't listen to the crowd, man. As my father would always say to me, be a leader, not a follower. And I wish my father was here because I think I'd probably kiss his feet right now for that one. Believe me. Very important. No one will ever clip our balls, and as Russell Fur says, who's listened to us from the first day, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. That's one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me, and we'll say that to the day we sign off. But as Carmen's stated before, dominate, obliterate, and what do you want to do? You want to dent everything in your path. Don't be afraid. Stop looking down. Stop walking away. Stop running away from life. Take it on. Carmen, great show. Thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, for Carmen Caputo, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Carmen will be on with us again next month, and we've got a ton of shows right through to Sunday where Wade Johnson will finish off the week with us. All I can say is the stuff's going to get better and better and better. Stay tuned. Tell 100 of your friends. If not, as I said before during our show, we're going to come looking for you. Be a steward of strength. Stop sanding on the side of the road. Have a great week, everybody, and make a mark in your life. Have a great
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.